Right on. Welcome to Mountain Man Nutrition, episode number 8, coming to you from the foothills outside of Denver, Colorado. And super excited to be here today talking to you about type 2 diabetes and nutrition and whatever else comes about. Just got back from an amazing, I guess we would call it a holiday weekend. It was my birthday weekend. I have a twin brother. He came out with his wife and my best friend from back home outside of St. Louis, Missouri, came out with his two kids and his girlfriend, and my mom came out and had an amazing time. All of us, or most of us, went to Big Head Todd and the Monsters up at Red Rocks. And if you've never seen a show at Red Rocks, it's amazing. Big Head Todd and the Monsters is actually a band that started out in Denver, so it was they have a ton of fans locally, which always makes the concert awesome. And so they always play in June 10th at Red Rocks. And so last couple of years I've been going, and this year we went, took a bunch of people with us, and it's amazing sound. If you've never been to Red Rocks, it's a must. Also, another band that was there, Blackberry Smoke. Man, I tell you, I've heard a couple of songs before, but man, they were fantastic loud. Live, and I really enjoyed that band, so I've been listening to them a lot, and it's cool music, man. I really enjoy it. So then we got up the next morning, drove down to Buena Vista, which is about an hour outside of Denver if you've never been in this area, and it's right on the Arkansas River, which is a great rafting river, and we hit Browns Canyon, which is a super famous whitewater rafting adventure, and we took all the kids and everybody whitewater rafting, and my daughter went. She's 8, had a great time, and my buddy Chris's kids went, and they had an amazing time. We got super soaking wet, and it was really fun. It's one of the best things I love about Denver, Colorado. I go every year whitewater rafting. It's adventurous, intense, super fun, and we really enjoyed it. And then Mount Princeton has which is, 5 miles away, a few minutes away from whitewater rafting. We got a cabin and grilled food and hung out at the hot springs and jumped in the pools. And they have a pool up there for the kids that have a water slide. So I was taking Max down the water slide, and he was giggling and laughing the whole time and dove underwater when we hit the pool at the bottom and didn't freak out at all and loved it. He's a water baby for sure. We take him to the pool all the time, and he really loved the water slide, just giggling all the way down it on my lap. So that was really fun, and got to say hi to the family and have fun and enjoyed and sitting out at the grill. We ate a ton of meat, man, and I only had a couple salads, or actually one salad on the last day we were there. Everything else was meat for some reason. We didn't eat at the restaurant. The family members, my mom and my brother and his wife, they went up to the restaurant a few times, which is pretty good there. But I just didn't do it. We were cooking out and with the kids and hanging out at the cabin and the pools, and just wasn't into eating. But I didn't eat enough fat, didn't have my leafy greens, and and ate a ton of protein, a little bit too much protein, not enough fat, and not enough leafy greens. And I really felt it in my digestion. It was really evident that I was not eating the way I was used to eating. And so a little, definitely present to digestive and how my consistent schedule changes and how it affected me. So I pay attention to that kind of thing, journal about it and write about it and talk about it, and definitely some issues there. So getting off my game a little bit with too much protein, not enough good high-quality fats. So we had an amazing time at the birthday, and can't wait till next year because we'll definitely do it again, yeah? New topic. Moving on to the next topic, I'd like to talk a little bit about probiotics. And we talked a little bit about it before, but I found, and I've been utilizing this probiotic for a while. This is White Mountain Bulgarian Yogurt. So it's actually made in Austin, Texas. and it's really, really good. It's up to 90 billion CFU per serving, and the serving is one cup. And so that's what I like about this. It's actually a cup, which is it's nice, 140 calories. Nobody cares about calories. But eight grams of fat, saturated fat, which is awesome. It's 4.5 grams, 22%. And then carbohydrates is 5 and sugars is 5. So it's interesting that it's got a tablespoon of sugar per cup, which is not a lot. And when you're talking about yogurt, the sugars mostly get ate up by the cultures. It's not like it's like you're eating a teaspoon of sugar in here, because I don't believe you are. You know, it's sugars there to feed the cultures because that's what they eat. And this is I like this because there's two ingredients, right? Milk and cultures. Now, this is not a raw milk product, which I like to make my own raw milk. But as far as a yogurt that is super high quality, real food, I like this stuff. And I would check it out. I think it's a real good one. I know there's some raw food out there, and I'm not sure if this is grass-fed or not, but the kids love it. I want to look more into see if this is grass-fed, but I really like the fact that there's only two ingredients in here, and it's super tasty. So Bulgarian yogurt, White Mountain, and this is full fat. You know, they do have a light version, but nobody cares about that because we eat full fat here, because that's the healthy way to go. So what are we talking about next? Anybody ever heard of Price Pottinger Foundation? They're a fantastic organization out there that produces books and content, interviews. They have a huge library of nutritional information, and it's really, really a great organization to look at. They put out a quarterly magazine, have courses you can take, and they are front leading edge of what we're doing here with the non-mainstream nutrition, you know, and they are leading in a lot of ways in this new paradigm of nutrition that we like to focus on, you know, the higher fats, no processed foods, low carbohydrates, or, you know, moderate. And they really talk about fermenting your vegetables and your grains and doing things old school style, you know, when you're going to can or ferment, you know, how to do it. They talk a lot about raw dairy and raw milk and epigenetics and a lot of things. And Price Pottinger. So what is Price Pottinger? Price, Dr. Price, was a dentist. And way back when, in the 40s, I believe he started. I don't have all my notes in here, but I do have his book, which I read, which is absolutely amazing. And so Dr. Price first noticed this change in people's teeth. Like being a dentist, it's one of the first areas that gets, you know, you spot all these dietary changes, because in his lifetime, he saw our real food diet with high fats and fermented grains and no processed foods and meat and raw dairy and things like that change over time to high processed carbohydrates, high processed grains, a lot more sugar in the diet, and less fat, real fat, less and less meat products in his diet in his lifetime. And he noticed that the people's teeth, his clients' teeth, just started getting worse and worse and worse. And he's having all these issues where before it was very little. And so when he retired from dentistry, he decided to travel around the world. And he went to all the native peoples out there. He went to American natives, to the Inuit tribes, tribes in Africa, tribes all over the world. And he studied their teeth. And he took pictures and documented. And then he wrote a book and some papers. And it just really, really interesting article about how he saw the people who were still eating their native foods, right, had no issues. You know, they had great teeth. They didn't have any bodily issues, you know, no degeneration, no deformities. They were really robust, really healthy people. And then the people who kind of moved out of that area or to a local big town that started getting westernized foods and these high processed sugars and grains and different things in their diet, how their teeth especially, as well as their bodies, completely degenerated. And they were having lots of bad teeth and lots of bad issues. And it was blatantly obvious through studies that it was a direct result from the nutrition that these people were receiving. And then some of the people, he's got studies in there where one family had a couple kids that were excellently healthy and really robust and great teeth. And then this family would move to an industrialized area. And then the next couple of kids had horrible teeth and some degeneration and some other issues. And then they would move back to their native culture and have another child, and the child was great. And it was blatantly obvious what was going on. So just to talk a little bit about, I have some notes here, about the diets of the native people. They contained no refined or degenerated foods. You know, they didn't do refined carbohydrates. They didn't have Doritos or Oreos Wonder Bread or anything like that. They all used some type of animal products with some raw, you know, whether it was raw milk or raw cheese they were making. But all of them ate animal products. And the ones that were mostly vegetarian still ate a lot of bugs. And that was interesting. Yeah, they ate bugs for their protein because that's what they had available. But they knew that they needed this nutrition, this protein in their body to make themselves healthy. So that's what they ate because that's what they had available. The study shows that there was 4 times higher calcium and other minerals and 10 times higher fat-soluble vitamins in their diets because they were eating real fat, and they ate the heart and the liver and the fat behind the eyes and the jaws, and they ate the fatty pieces of meat and the intestines and things like that that contain all these nutrients. Dense food, because, you know, we're well aware that the liver, especially in the heart, are so nutrient dense, and they have so many great fat soluble vitamins in them that it's awesome to add that to your diet. Now, I get it. Like a lot of people, there's no way you're going to get the kids to eat liver. But there is, because we can hide that food in other things. You make a meatloaf, hide that liver in there. Make meatballs, hide that liver in there. Make a chili, hide that heart or liver in there. Really, really simple to get that nutrients that your family needs by putting in the other foods. You know, you make a hamburger, a little bit of liver in there. It's absolutely perfect. And we got to add that stuff to our diet. All the seeds, grains, legumes were soaked, sprouted, fermented, or naturally leavened. When they made bread, every kind of bread they made was fermented. You know, they didn't do quick yeast because they didn't have it available, of course, until later. But they all fermented everything. Everything was made from a mother, you know, that fermented. And this really helps with digestion. It breaks down the food so you can upregulate the nutrients that are in it. You know, it wasn't this super high processed grain. It was, you know, whole grains, but it was a different kind of wheat. They didn't use the same kind of wheat we have, this high gluten and hybrid and GMO type of flour and grains that we're using today. You know, it just didn't happen. So a completely different diet than what we have now. So 30 to 80% of the total calories that the native peoples were eating were fat, 30 to 80% fat. So it's completely opposite of what we're doing now, but completely recommended to add your healthy fats to your diet. absolutely super important. Diets contain nearly equal amounts of omega-3 and omega-6 fatty acids. And this does not happen today unless you really pay attention, because everybody's frying with omega-6 fatty acids is canola oil and sunflower seed oil and all these highly processed oils that don't even exist unless you, you know, high process and put solvents on these kind of foods and, you know, get the oil out of them, which destroys the oil. But then we deep fry food in corn oil or soybean oil or something like this. And this is really high in not only omega-6, but also it's destroyed oils. You know, it's putrefied and busted up, and it can become toxic and really unhealthy for you to put these really bad oils in your body, because your body craves fat. It needs fat. It's a building block of the body. And when you're using really bad oil to build your body and utilize your body for cell structures, you're not building a proper foundation for your cells. And so we are sometimes 19 or 20% too high in these omega-6 fatty acids, because we quit eating the omega-3s, then we have all this processed food, because everything's made with this processed oil. You know, the chips and crackers and breads and donuts and things that you're eating have very, very high omega-6. So there's a complete imbalance. Omega-6 are absolutely, you know, important for your body, but it needs to come from the right sources and not tainted sources, and it needs to come in balance with your omega-3s. You know, it needs to be equal or really close to equal parts, where right now our Western diet has so much omega-6 in it that it's overloaded, and it's a lopsided nutritional system. So also, diets contain some unrefined salt and made use of bones, usually in bone broths. And that in bone broth is the new fad right now. But it's funny that it's been years and years and years, in generation after generation, people have been using bone broth and using the bones and the marrow and all the nutrients and minerals in the marrow of these bones, in their bone broths and their soups and their drinks. Very, very nutritious. One of the main things that you eat in Siberia, at some of the big meals, is they always serve you a cup. It's like in a teacup of broth. You know, you go to a dinner at someone's house, and one of the first things they offer you is a teacup of bone broth, and it's delicious. You know, full fat in there, people love it, and they drink it a lot, and it's a natural thing. They don't even think about it. So, we love bone broth, and it's a new fad now, and it's new popular now, and everybody's talking about it. But we've been doing this for centuries, you know, generations. And it's one of the healthiest things you can do is make your own bone broth. You know, it doesn't matter what kind of bones you have, chicken and beef and pork, just put them all in a pot and go with them for 3 days. You know, throw a little vinegar in there. And that's the simplest way to do it. Now, if you want to get super, you know, if you're like me, a chef, and or you just love to cook and you want to do the onions and, you know, carrots and all this stuff, also in there, but I wouldn't leave those in there for 3 days. You know, I think a good point is to, you know, cook your bones for 2-3 days, and then in the last 45 minutes, hour that you cook it, throw in your vegetables. You know, because what happens if you cook just vegetable broth for, you know, over 2 hours or over 3 hours? It gets bitter, right? So you get this bitter tasting vegetable broth, and nobody wants that, because you cook your vegetable broth for 45 minutes and then you have a delicious, good vegetable broth, and it's not bitter. So why would you want to cook your vegetables in your chicken stock or beef stock or bone broth for, you know, several hours or several days? You're just going to turn it bitter, and it's going to have a tainted taste. So a quick cooking tip. Add your vegetables at the last minute and just do the last 45 minutes with the vegetables in your bone broth, and you'll have better results with the flavor. So that was Dr. Weston Price Nutrition and Physical Degeneration is his book. It was published by Price Pottinger. It's like the 23rd printing and the 8th edition that I have. And I have a lot of things highlighted in here through my reading. And there's a ton of pictures. I really like the chapter on the North Americans, chapter 6, Primitive and Modernized North American Indians. So if you're a reader, it's a great read for ultimate nutrition. So I'm showing the book because I'm actually I've been doing a lot or recording this for my YouTube channel. So I just post my live podcast broadcast. I'm filming it on the computer, and I post it on my live YouTube channel. So if you can Google Mountain Man Nutrition or Jeffrey Hipshman and find that new YouTube channel if you want to see my content on there, everything from my cooking classes to quick tips to podcasts and different things like that. I try to keep a lot of the content separate, you know, for people to find different avenues or different things, but also have some of the same stuff on Instagram or Facebook or on this podcast or what have you. So the next guy in the Price Pottinger organization was Dr. Pottinger. So this is an interesting story, and I love this story, and I love Dr. Pottinger. He's an amazing, very thoughtful man. He had an asylum, him and his father had an asylum. So I got to take a little drink of my water. I got to stay hydrated because I'm also drinking coffee. Always drink water with my coffee. And twice as much water, or one and a half as much water than my coffee, because we need to stay hydrated, right? So taking a drink of that. So back to Dr. Pottinger, him and his father had an asylum, and they started doing this study on cats. And this is the famous cat study. And some of you may have heard this story before. Somewhere, because it's really popular, and it really sets the scene for modern day life today. So what they had was they had four groups of cats. And the first group was ate mostly raw meat, raw milk, and along with some other stuff in their diet. And ongoingly, the other three groups had less and less or raw food and more processed food. You know, they had milk, or they had sweetened condensed milk, you know, with high sugar, and cooked food, cooked meat, and things like this. And they studied these cats and their behavior, and they found that the more processed the food the cat ate, the more issues it had. You know, it didn't have as good balance, or wasn't as socially active. In different rates based on how much processed food they had. Some of these cats didn't have the agility as the raw eating cats. You know, they weren't behaviorally as fun and loving and, sexually oriented. You know, they were, interested in sex as much. And then they had kittens, right? And then they kept the same cats eating the same food, their offspring ate the same food as their parents. And again, the raw food and healthy eating cats were super vibrant and active and, you know, playful and super tough, you know, and they had a healthy lives. And the other cats were just unhealthy. You know, they didn't have the balance. They didn't have the agility. They were a little bit lazy. They started to get aggressive. But what was funny is they would get aggressive with the cats that ate great food, and then they'd get their butts kicked because they didn't have the agility to fight. And then again, those kittens had kittens. And it was interesting because the fertility, a lot of the third generation kittens from the really bad eating foods just died, or they couldn't have babies. Or they were even uninterested in the opposite sex. They weren't even interested, and they And that's interesting today because look what's happening today. We have a fertility crisis in America. Like everybody needs to go to a fertility doctor because of our diets, I think. And everybody needs to have in vitro, or the men need to help getting their sperm count higher. And if you look at actually the drop in sperm count for men over the last 40 years, it's absolutely dramatic. I have to pull that study up. I don't have it in front of me because I'm just not thinking about it while we're talking here. But it's dramatic how they've lowered and lowered and lowered the normal sperm count in men over the last 40, 50 years. It's absolutely shocking. So it kind of goes to show that, like, we're the third generation, I think, in this of humans in this big processed food experiment that is going on today. Yeah. And then let's talk about the aggressiveness. You know, these cats were super moody. These not eating cats, these cats that ate really unhealthy and processed foods, were super aggressive. They were moody. They were violent. Of course, they'd get their butts kicked, like I said, by the healthy cats because they didn't have the agility or the skills to actually or the energy to hold on to a fight. But they were still aggressive. And again, I'll point back to a modern society and how aggressive and moody are people today. You know, how many people are on depression medication? How many people are super aggressive? You see our society becoming more and more and more aggressive every day. You know, you see it in the media, you see it in your neighborhood. And I'm going to say that, you know, I think there's other factors, of course, that maybe the media, I'm just saying, maybe our society. But I think our nutrition has a huge, huge, huge role to play. Because the studies are showing that, yeah, 3 to 4 generations nutritionally, it's called epigenetics, you're carrying this, what they eat, you're carrying these this profile in your DNA for 3 to 4 generations. So, you know, what your parents ate is absolutely affecting you. And what their parents ate is absolutely affecting you. And what you're eating is absolutely affecting your children. So, and I think the study is brilliant in showing that. So I think there's a few books out there about Dr. Pottinger. I know Greg Graham, and you can look that one up. He has one, Pottinger's Prophecies, I believe. I haven't read it yet, but it's on the list because I certainly enjoy listening to Greg Graham. He's one of the founder of the Nutritional Association, the school that I go to. This cat study is absolutely amazing. And when you link it up to what's going on in American society today, it makes absolutely sense. And this is and the science behind it is getting more and more. And there's more and more studies on epigenetics and how nutrition affects our DNA, our behavior, and our attitude. And I think it's extremely important. Mental health is a huge crisis in America. There's so many people on depression medication or ADA, or, you know, all the kids are on supplementation for behavioral issues. And the science is coming out and saying we don't need these kind of drugs. What we need is better nutrition. And I think it's evident. Look at a co-chef or another chef who was absolutely part of mainstream media and, you know, a fantastic show host, a fantastic chef, a great promoter of himself, author, just killed himself recently because of depression. You know, and he was an ex-drug addict, but still drank alcohol, talked about his depression sometimes over just a cheeseburger, you know, how bad it was, and they would put him in depression. And it's interesting that I wonder what he was eating on a daily basis, because on his TV shows, he eats all kinds of food, yeah, and drinks all kinds of booze. And I'm wondering if he could have helped himself through eating a healthier, more nutritious, dense diet instead of just everything out there that he was consuming. So it's a great question, to start about is nutrition and mental health. And we should talk more about that because it's, I think it's pervasive in America today that we are more and more violent, more and more depressed, more and more easily angered. And how is our nutrition and how is our parents and their parents' nutrition affecting that? And so we'll talk more about that as we go. So that's the Dr. Pottinger story. Find a book about that, or there's plenty of recordings out there, I think. Or there's even a movie out there, I think, some short films about there, about both these doctors, because they're in this field of nutrition, they are heroes. Yeah, and there's many of them, but these are two of the most acclaimed heroes, and it is certainly worth a read to check out Dr. Weston Price and Dr. Pottinger. Also, we're going to how does food addiction, food cravings affect you, and when is the worst time for you? Like for me at work, you know, with food cravings, because there's so much food around all the time and so crappy food that I really have to pay attention to food cravings and my food addiction. Also, super late at night, if I stay up too late working or studying or just even goofing off with a wife and watching a late movie because, you know, the kids are in bed and we actually get to do something together at 10, 11 o'clock at night, you know, the food cravings kick in then. So just asking a question out there to the public, and you can email me or type it into this podcast notes or YouTube, any kind of form of communication is great, but send some talk about your food cravings, how you handle them, or any questions about what you need help with. And we'll talk about that on the air or on Instagram or on Facebook. Or we got a question and answer podcast I've been promising coming up. We're waiting for more questions to come in. Also waiting for my wife, Arisha, and my time schedule to do this podcast to coincide in a good way. So we want to do a question and answer episode for you. So I need you to send in your questions in food addiction and cravings, or what you're craving, when you're craving it, how you're craving it, what you're doing about it. Is a great question to ask and conversation to have, because we're all in this together. We all have the same issues. You know, we all go through the same stuff. Nobody's unique in this, right? We think we are, but everybody's going through the same thing. So we need to talk about that stuff, and I think it'll help and it'll benefit many other people out there. Consider that if you have a question or if you're going through something, that there's many, many, many other people out there going through the exact same thing. And if you ask the question, you can benefit a ton of people by asking that question, and we can have that conversation together and try to answer that the best of our knowledge is together. You know, this is not a guru type situation. You know, I'm not your guru. You know, I'm just a cat trying to do the best I can with what I got, right? And utilizing this podcast to help other people is part of that, you know, and me talking to you helps me have integrity around all this stuff, you know, and helps me talk about my food cravings and handle my food cravings and being present to it. So I really like that. So again, my food cravings come in at work or late at night. When does yours come? Also, hey, I got some stuff coming up soon. I got my next type 2 diabetes and insulin resistance cooking class coming up on Tuesday, June 26th at 6:45 p.m. at the National Grocers in Littleton. Actually, it's up in the foothills off a coal mine. So if you have a Denverette that's got type 2 diabetes or insulin resistance or family members, send them to this. We'll have a conversation about nutritious foods, type 2 diabetes foods to put in your body that'll help your blood sugar regulation, what you can do, get a couple of new recipes, watch some cooking and have a good time, get to eat some food that night. And it's going to be a good fun time. So this will be my second one I did. The first one was super fun. And we'll have some new recipes this time and do a couple things. So that's coming up. And then, of course, next month I'll actually do another one, but I haven't scheduled it yet because we are moving, hopefully. That's the plan, across town. And there will be a new location, so I'm going to find out if I'm going to do the new location or stay at this location or maybe do one downtown on Broadway. There's a Natural Grocers down there, and I'm considering that as well. So that's coming up. And then I have some guests coming up also. I have an awesome guest coming up, and I don't want to tell you who it is, but he's fought this type 2 diabetes and have lost a ton of weight, and his blood sugars are awesome, and he's in full ketosis all the time, and he was a big cat. So we're going to talk to him live probably next week. And then we have an exercise coach coming on who I've interviewed before, but it was an absolute failure on my technical end. So we're going to redo that conversation and a few more guests lined up. And I'm looking forward to start doing guests on the show. Not every week, because I don't want to, I want to keep it mixed and keep it interesting and keep it moving around and jump around and do different things all the time. So question and answer podcast coming up, guest podcast coming up, and then just talking about more nutrition, type 2 diabetes, digestion, things like that. So again, send in your questions. You can find me at Mountain Man Nutrition on Facebook. Check out Jeffrey Hipschman. Google that. I got an Instagram account, MM Nutrition. There's also a YouTube channel, Google Plus channel, and this podcast. So do me a favor, go on iTunes and give me a rating, put in some notes, let people find out about us, or if you have some friends that have type 2 diabetes or focusing on nutrition issues or just want to live a healthier lifestyle, let them know about this podcast, and we can hook up and maybe we can benefit some people together. All right, that's all I have today. You guys have a great day. Good wishes.